Today, why closing branches leads to more online fraud. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, Dale Webster has been at it again and is really pushing a very important point, this time via a further submission to the inquiry into bank closures in regional Australia. The point is this: there is a link between bank closures and scamming. And it's something which we think needs to be brought to the attention of the committee for consideration about the welfare impacts of closures. Now, of course, the issue is not confined to the closure of a branch, but it's also relevant to issues covered in recent submissions relating to teleservices being removed from banks. For a number of years, all the major banks have been involved in an aggressive campaign to migrate customers to digital channels and away from face-to-face service. In fact, Wendy Streets of the Finance Sector Union gave evidence at the sale inquiry in relation to the practices employed by the banks to achieve this, stating that in her opinion, the behaviour constituted harassment of customers. And here's an extract. Senator Colbeck said, "You talked about, for want of a kinder word, the counselling that's being provided for the discussions with employees to achieve the targets that are set. How does that work for somebody who quite simply doesn't want to change the way that they're operating their accounts?" And Ms. Streets replied, "The expectation on our members is that they must continue to ask. Every single time that a customer comes into the bank, they have to ask the same series of questions. They get the same responses, but they cannot drop it. There's no way they can mark that customer as never ask again. In my view, it eventually becomes harassment of the poor customer, but our members don't have a choice. There is no way for them to mark don't ever ask Richard again, because he's a definite no on this. There is no capacity for them at all to do that." The need to migrate customers to digital becomes even more intense when a bank is planning to close a branch. And it's clear that the National Australia Bank in particular has an agenda for closing branches. And preparation, by the way, for the reduction of opening hours starts a year or so in advance. Fact sheets being released by the NAB demonstrate how few people use online banking after being coerced or forced because they have no other option to access their money to sign up. In most cases, NAB has managed to get 80 to 90% of customers to register and set up digital banking before the closures, but have admitted that only a small percentage are active users, perhaps as low as 10 to 15% in some cases. What this actually means is that there are an awful lot of technically unsavvy people who now have their bank accounts linked to an electronic device, whether they use this channel or not. But even with the most technically competent people now reporting as victims of scams, the banks have put those people in incredibly vulnerable positions and, according to reporting from the ABC this week, are offering very little help in reimbursing stolen funds. A number of people who would be regarded as particularly vulnerable to scams is not insignificant. So, for example, according to the Australian Digital Inclusion Index, there are 2.8 million people in Australia, 11% of the population, who do not have access to affordable internet or do not know how to use it. Another 4.4 million people, or 17% of the population, are still classed as digitally excluded. So, taken together, the number of highly excluded and excluded Australians is 7.2 million people. That's about 28% of the national population as at 2021. Regional bank customers signed up to digital banking for a closure without the capacity or means to use it are, of course, among those numbers. If somebody cannot drive to the next town to do their banking after their branch closes and is unable to do digital banking themselves, they have to rely on a third party to help. A moment somebody tells another their PIN, their rights to reimbursement if scammed avoided, according to bank terms and conditions. And this also is the case when somebody can't get teller services and needs help to use an ATM. Some people who can't afford to own or run their own devices, remember they need a digital phone as well as a computer for two-factor identification, are relying on libraries and other public computers to access their banking. And some libraries won't allow people to do banking on their computers because of the risk. And two-factor identification put in place by banks to help stop scammers is causing huge problems in regional areas due to connectivity issues, as detailed in the Regional Banking Task Force submissions. Now, here's a quote from a submission to that Regional Banking Task Force. With the rise in financial scams, consumers are looking to banks to protect them from scams. Instead, they're closing branches and directing them to platforms with the greatest risk. Bank tellers play an active role in helping to protect customers from scams. This is why people need a full-time bank branch in their community. And interestingly, in my experience, when something goes wrong and you phone at the bank or send an email, the bank says, better go to a branch. Well, actually, of course, as the branches close, the ability to do that gets less and less. So banks continue to talk from both sides of their face. They're trying to get people to go digital, reduce costs, but they are exposing customers to significantly higher risk of scamming. And I've been highlighting a number of scams in recent times. Look back over recent posts. And of course, also if you are in an area where you cannot get mobile reception, two-factor identification and authentication just doesn't work. So there's a theoretical view of what might be possible in bankers' heads, because of course they mostly live in highly built up areas with lots of internet connectivity, and of course assume that everybody has access to all these devices, when in reality, in the real world, the story is quite different. So good on you, Dale, for highlighting this very important point, and we will continue to apply pressure to ensure that the regional banking inquiry into bank closures takes on board some of these other broader issues too. I suspect they now realise they have a tiger by the tail. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.